Amen. If you want to open your Bibles to this passage, it'd be great for you to do. It's chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. This is one of a number of scriptures that speak about the Holy Spirit. And it's really good to read through those often. We don't do it enough, and that's why the Holy Spirit is often overlooked, right? It's something that we should actually have an encounter with every day in our lives, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit. I'd like to go through the scripture today and just remind you of some of the things that it says here that are so important in understanding this day of Pentecost and also the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. I named this sermon, "The Holy Spirit is Here and Distributing Gifts." I kind of felt led to choose that title because it's something that is fun, and it should be. It's God coming and distributing gifts to everyone. You know, we're so used to Christmas time, but Pentecost is a reminder of the Holy Spirit giving gifts to us that we use in our Christian lives. If you don't know it already, God has a gift for you, and he uses you for his kingdom, and it's a great honor to have those gifts from God. So I'd like to go through the scripture and, like I said, just remind you of some of the things that are said here, and then I'd like to offer to you some ways that we can know that we are identify the gifts that we've been given from God, okay? So let's just start off here at the beginning. Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians because their church has gotten off track. They're aware of the different gifts in their church, but some people have thought that their gift is superior to those of others, right? So they started to get puffed up and conceited, and they started to become arrogant because they felt that they had this gift that they possessed and that others didn't. And so there was this feeling of, that the people who didn't have that gift were less than those who did. And so, of course, you can't function as a church when you have that kind of arrogance, right? You can't be that way. And so Paul is using this opportunity to write them and to lead them back to the way that they need to be. And so he provides this wonderful means for us here, because we sometimes get off track too, right? I mean, everybody does. We're all sinners. We have that tendency to feel like, you know, my opinion is better and I know best and, you know, just do what I say and things like that. And it just doesn't work when you're a body of Christ. So let's take a look at it. He says in verse 3b, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." We actually started with, "And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So right there, it means that no one can say that Jesus is Lord unless they believe in him and that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts when we believe, what comes into us, and it identifies us with Christ as a true believer in Christ. And so it's important for each one of us here today how important it is. We want to receive gifts from the Spirit and we want to be used for God's glory, we need to believe in Jesus Christ and live for him. Right? We need to have that in place. He goes on to say there's a variety, there's three things here in the 4, 5, and 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And so in this, we can get the gist of where Paul is going when he's writing someone. I don't know if you've ever written to someone, you know, besides just saying, "How are you doing? I just wanted to check in and let you know what's going on in my life." Whether you ever wrote a letter to someone to address something that's going on between you. You know, I don't know if people even write letters that often anymore, you know. But It's a lost art, actually, that we should regain, because the letter writing is a wonderful way to be able to express yourself and to engage with other people, right? There are many Christians who are, have been known for their letter writing, and Paul is one of them. Right? And so he's, you can get the gist of it here. He's saying there's a variety of gifts, the same Spirit, varieties of service, like serving, right? But the same Lord, and there's varieties of activities that we can do and be involved with for the sake of the gospel, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So he's making the point right off from the start that there's a lot of us, but we are all following the same God. We are one in God, and God is the one here who empowers all of them and all of us, right? He empowers us for all the things that we're doing. So we have to remember God. And anytime that you feel like something's getting off kilter in your life, you think, where is God to me right now? Is he center in my life, or am I doing it my own way? I have a very simple concept. Right, we were talking about that last week about leaks that we, you know, in life there are leaks that spring up, and we're like, oh, there's a leak somewhere, but we don't often enough go to find it and search it out and fix it. We let it leak. And if there's a leak in our life, we can in a spiritual way, we probably could go right to God and say, am I right with you? And then I would say 99% of the time you'll find that that is the issue at hand. We need to come back and be in him. Right? He loves us. He's there for us, but he can't do anything unless we go to him and open our hearts to him to receive him and the things that he wants to give to us. So again, there's a variety of gifts. There's the service. There's all these different things. There's many things that we can do, but it has to be in God, and he's the one that empowers it. If it's not him empowering it, there's not any power. Okay, so the other thing that we get from this wonderful section here from Paul, he's just a wonderful Christian brother. He points out to us the Spirit, the Lord Jesus is intended here, the same Lord, and then the God the Father, who empowers them all and everyone. So he's incorporating the Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And he's using that also to point out to us, brothers and sisters, that we are one. Right? If there's something going on in your life, it's affecting me. Right? If something good is happening to you, it's affecting me. If we're growing, we grow together. It's the body of Christ. We're all many members. And Paul goes on to talk about the body and say the hand, the foot, everything, all these different parts working together as one. And so that's why he's saying here, and he's making it clear to them, all these different things are ready for us to do, but we have to be one. And it goes on from there with more wonderful things. And the next verse is an example of that. To each person is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And this is where the people, the brothers and sisters in Corinth, were getting off base. They were doing things and they were practicing a gift, the manifestation of the Spirit for themselves, for the person, for the individual. But we have to understand when we have a gift, it is for the common good. It's for everyone. Isn't that a beautiful concept? I mean, that's really what we, if we really are smart, we'll think that way, right? I mean, we want to make a difference in the world. We don't just say, I want to get ahead. And so that I can be famous one day, right? We're reminded of a lot of people at Memorial Day, right? Who gave their lives for the common good, didn't they? Not looking at yourself and saying, oh, look at my gift, and this is what I want to do, and I want to push my way in there to do it. That's a sign that you're going to get off base. You have to think, okay, so Lord, you've given me this gift. Now, what is it that you desire for me to do with that so that I can affect the common good for all of the people? It's because we're one. How can I use this so that other people will be blessed? It's a beautiful, beautiful design of God for us. The manifestation of the Spirit coming into our lives, into our hearts, into our souls is for the common good. Okay? And this keeps us humble, and it gives us perspective in the meaning of the spiritual gifts. He goes on in verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. And here he starts to list some of the gifts that he wanted the Corinth people to know about, and probably that were at hand there in their church. For to one is given the Spirit through the utterance of wisdom. So there are people who possess a wisdom, an especially strong gift in wisdom to help them. I'm sure that you know people like that. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. We were talking about how we are born to know God, right? And if you're a student, and if you're anyone who is learning something and doing something like that, it comes from the Spirit of God giving you the knowledge to know God first. All the other things that you do and you know will not have meaning unless you know Him. Because that is why you have knowledge. That is why we possess that part of us that says, I want to know something. Right? We were talking about that last week. It's very important that we understand that that is the focus of God's Word, so that we would know Him. And if you don't know Him, then you can't know science. Right? He will open up things to you that you have no idea about. But it needs to begin in Him. It's starting with Him because He is the one who gave us that, right? It's a beautiful thing that He's given to us, and we can use it for great things. Okay, so then the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Again, He brings in the same Spirit, the same one that gives all people different gifts. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Interesting that faith is listed here, right? Faith is one of those gifts of the Spirit. Faith is something we all should have, but there are some that have an especially strong faith. Think about Abraham. I could never compare my faith to Abraham's. But he was given in this way to show us the strength of faith in God and to be an example to us. So thank you, Abraham. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. There are people that are given a gift to go and to lay hands on people, and they have this especially strong gift by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Right? We're going to come back to this in a second. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Someone who is especially in tune to be able to know the difference between an evil spirit and one that is of God, and one that will help lead us to God and to keep us safe in Him. Jesus prayed for that we would not be led into temptation, keep us from evil. To another, various kinds of tongues. The people spoke in different tongues. That was an especially strong gift in this church, and it seems that that gift was one that people took advantage of, and it became something they were puffed up with and conceited with because they thought it was so unusual and supernatural that all other people that couldn't do that were less than they were. And so he's telling them to those that there are certain people have these kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues, to be able to say what those people mean when they speak in tongues. Okay. So although this list is not exhaustive, these represent the gifts as manifestations of the Spirit for the common good in the church. Now there are many others, right, that Paul doesn't go into them, but you'll notice that all of these are gifts that are especially for the upbuilding of the church and for people in the church to exercise. It's for that purpose, right? And then they go out into the world exercising those gifts as well. And we'll talk about that too. But you can hear in each one of these, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, all of these things that maybe we should spend a little bit more time thinking about, right, in our church and exercising those, right? They're not just meant to be a historical fact of what happened in the church there. They're meant for us to pray over and to ask God to give us, right, and to use for His glory. All these, in verse 11, again, he emphasizes, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. And so we see here again that he's emphasizing it's God who determines those things. Man, I can tell you this. I hope you don't get tired of me saying this. But we think that we can do a lot of great things. We think that we are, you know, I am so good at this, and this is my gift, and it's my gift. And God is saying, no, I gave you that gift. I gave you that gift. Right? And when we do that, we're brought into worship of Him. We're not just admitting that God is in control and, okay, God, I'm going to do it. We are worshiping Him with our lives. And we're saying, this is given to me by you. Thank you, God. I don't deserve anything because I'm such a sinner, but you look down upon me in grace and you give me this gift. Help me to use it for your glory, to further your kingdom, so that other people will know of the great love that you have for them. Make me a servant. Make me a servant. Help all of the activities that I do to be filled with this sense of awe and worship of you, and saying, I'm going to worship you in the things that I'm going to do for this person. I'm going to worship you in cleaning the church. I'm going to worship you in every part of my life, because you are my God. You are Almighty God. And it's by your grace I have been saved. And I want to show this through the things that you have given to me, these gifts I'm going to use for your glory. Empowered by one and the same Spirit who distributes to each individually as He wills. And so the Holy Spirit is distributing gifts, brothers and sisters. Just as the body is one, Paul says, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. One body has many members. We have arms, we have legs, we have toes, we have fingers, we have eyes, we have all of these body parts, right? And all the members of the body, though many, are one. They work together as one, right? You've probably heard this before, but I'll say it again. If your little finger is hurting, man, you feel it in other parts of your body, don't you? I had an ingrown toenail on my big toe, and it was horrible. and I mean, it was painful, and it was just making my whole body feel miserable, right? But so it works in the same way that God has given us these spiritual gifts, right? And they're intended for us to use for the good of the body. And just like I was saying, when something affects me, it affects others. And when you go through something, it affects me, and there's things going on. But when things work together, then we work it together as one. It's one Spirit. Gifts given to each person, but it's one body. And it's used for the glory of God's kingdom. He says this, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Right? Now we have a scripture that is in the lectionary, the read in the devotional today, in John 7:37-39, and this is Jesus speaking to the people there before the Holy Spirit had come. He says, on the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. And as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. He said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But this is what Jesus reminded them of. Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. And that is what Paul is saying here in this verse. For in one Spirit we were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. There it is, drinking in the Spirit, right? That's the power of God, the Holy Spirit at work in us. The Bible is filled with wilderness teaching, right? When a person's away from God, they're in the wilderness. They're in the arid dryness, right? But God brings into that life, into that being, into that arid dryness, He brings water. And when we drink water every day, we're reminded of that. Right? That is from God. It's given to us, yes, to drink and to be able to enjoy and to be able to be hydrated when we're playing sports or doing something like that. But man, it's much, much more than that. It is God preserving your life and is giving you the things that you need to live. And it's a reminder not only of the physical, but of the spiritual, that He gives us Himself as the water of life. He is the living water. So you see how basic it is to believe in God? You're drinking water every day, and so you know what God is about, right? It's clear as anything, right? It's just a matter of your focus. You just have to get into the Bible and read it, and you'll see what God is saying to you. And then His Holy Spirit speaks to you as well and says, this is what I've been trying to say to you. You need me to live forever. You need me to have a life now that is life that is enduring and fulfilling, right? The kind that you can experience joy that is on a level that is far greater than anything you can imagine. And He gives us also the gifts that we can enjoy now, the things in our lives that bring us joy. Those are also meant for joy, but it needs to be in the perspective of God as the ruler, the one who gave us our lives, our creator, our king, our savior, our friend, our shepherd, always involved in our lives. And that's where we can really, truly understand what life is about. And so I told you I was going to bring up some practical ways to discover your spiritual gifts. And I read this written by a guy named J.D. Greer. And it's in your bulletin today. There are 5 points, I think. And so if you want, I can tell you the book later. But anyway, I think that these help us in a very practical way to be able to discover your spiritual gifts. Number one, a spiritual gift bestows an unusual effectiveness in a responsibility given to all believers. So he's saying that a spiritual gift will have an especial effectiveness in one of the commands or the responsibilities given to all believers. I'll give you an example. He says, for instance, to serve the Lord with gladness. Evangelize is another. To prophesy, to pray for healing, to intercede for others, to pray for others, to trust in God for provision, to be generous, exhorting one another in all of these different ways. But this unusual effectiveness is the sign of a spiritual gifting. And so there, God will point out in some way that you have an unusual amount of effectiveness in one of these commands and doing one of these things that He gives to you to do. Right? So the spiritual gift, a spiritual gift bestows an unusual effectiveness in a responsibility given to all believers. Second, we discover our spiritual gifts as we actively pursue those responsibilities. And so there is an action there. You have to pursue it. Right? I think that's one of the things that we get stuck on. We know about it and we think about it and it's there somehow, but we act upon it. Right? You have to take that step and act upon it through the Spirit, right? He says here that the Spirit of God called out Paul and Barnabas, for example, to a special gifting of evangelism and directed the church to send them out into the nations as their ambassadors. Right? And so you see the way that this is working. The church sends them out. That's what we have to do. Right? We're talking about everybody is an ambassador of Christ, now go and do this. That's great. But we also identify people who are especially gifted for that purpose, and we send them out. It's more specific. And it has to do with a direct, a prayer-filled sending of people that represent our church, represent the church of Christ going out into the world. Now, there's many different ways that we can look at these, but you can think about this in that regard. We discover our spiritual gifts as we actively pursue them. So he's also saying we discover those as we actively pursue these responsibilities. So if God is saying to serve, then you serve, and God, in the midst of that sermon, will point out which one it is that you are to do and the gift that you have. Number three, and we have a slide here that Alfred is going to provide for us. I like this. A spiritual gift usually reveals itself in the confluence of what we are passionate about, what we're good at, and the affirmation of others. So there's three parts. What we're passionate about, what we're good at, and the affirmation of others, this spiritual gift. So we have on the left an ability, a special ability that you possess, right? And each one of us has those kind of abilities. An affinity, right? Which is what you're passionate about. And then the affirmation comes from other people in the church who affirm, yes, this, you have a gift. You should use that. Now, I don't like to talk about myself that much, but I'm going to anyway. There was a lady in our church who came up to me and said, you ought to take some voice lessons. I think you have a gift. I was going nowhere. I'm telling you, I was wandering around to different colleges and thinking, you know, what? Who am I? What am I going to do? And this beautiful woman that grew up and knew me since I was a little baby came up and she said, you have a gift for singing. You know, how about taking some lessons with my teacher? And I did, and it changed my world. So that's the kind of thing. We have people, and we also have to be those kind of people. It's not just waiting for someone yourself, but you go up to somebody and say, you know, I noticed that you really have a calling in that, and you have an especially effective responsibility gift, you know, that you could do, and you could make a difference if you do that. But you don't just tell them that. You help them to achieve it. You don't just say, you have that gift, God bless you. You have to say, and I'd be happy to help you in some way financially, in going to school, to seminary, to take some courses in this counseling class, to, you know, get the support from the church to send you out as a missionary, to follow through on that and to see if that is what God wants you to do, right? All these different things, and you see how it works together for the common good? We all become involved in each other's lives. We have to get over the idea that somebody telling us something is a threat. That is absolutely of Satan. It is absolutely of Satan, and it's also very arrogant. Oh, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Well, we tell people what to do all the time. So we have to get over that. And I really believe that that is a spiritual warfare. You have to, one of the reasons you're humble is not just to be like this meek person. You are being empowered by God to go out and to do his will and to practice your gifts. But it comes with a teachable spirit. First of all, to God to say, I am going to listen to what you say to me and I'm going to obey you. And then I am also going to be attuned to the things that people are telling me in my life that are for my good. So that I will be successful and that I don't have that impression that I can just do all these things on my own. That is absolutely wrong, right? It's not what we're intended for in this world. We're here for the common good, for others, to love one another, to love others, right? So there's an ability, a natural ability, an affinity, which is a passion of ours that can also set this into our minds, and then an affirmation from someone else. So be attuned to someone coming up to you and saying, I think you would be good at this. The trick is you have to be very humble about it. And that's what got me into trouble a lot in my life. I started to feel like I was, you know, oh, I can do this. I'm so great. But that's the wrong attitude. It's not going to get you anywhere. You need to remain humble, a teachable spirit, and act upon the things when people bring it into your mind and pray. Pray to God and ask God to show you what you need to do. What is it that he wants you to do in life for his glory? Number four, spiritual giftings arise out of the unique ways God has written our life stories. Amen? God uses the unique ways that he has written our life stories. Different things. For me, there are people in my life who I know who have mental illness, right? And there's a lot of that, a lot of things going around in the world today, sports, all these different things where people are bringing mental illness into view and saying there's a stigma against this. There's a stigma against people who have those things. We need to be talking about those things and expressing those things so that we can have a stronger society where people don't have to feel left out, right? And so that which is a negative in your mind, and when you're experiencing that kind of a thing and you see a person going through that, you feel like it's the worst thing in the world. But God comes into the picture and he says, I am preparing you so that you will help people for the common good. So you think about it for yourself. What is it in your life that you have in your life experiences that God could be speaking to you about and that could actually be affirmed by other people when you go to pray to him, right? You just ask him, what is it that is you have written my life story? Doesn't matter what it is, what your life story is. It's your life story. And you have a God in your life who loves and cares for you and has a purpose for your life. And so when you give your life to him, he will begin to show you what it's all about. Many, many different examples we don't have time to go into, but there's lots of things that this guy wrote that are helpful. Okay, and the fifth one, the Spirit of God works in our so-called secular vocations. Right? A vocation is, we think about our workplace or the employment or the things that we do, a vocation. But do you know what the root of vocation is? Calling. Voice, vocation, calling. Your calling is your vocation, right? What is your calling in life? What do you do in your job? What is your field and things like this? But the Spirit of God works in our so-called secular vocations. And he means so-called because he means that God is involved in there, so it's not just so-called. It has meaning because of what he is doing in that, right? So he writes this, an often overlooked dimension of the Spirit's guidance is how God uses our vocations as part of his plan for us in the world. We tend to reduce the Spirit's empowerment to church staff, or preaching, leading worship, taking meals to shut-ins, and those are all great things. But the Scripture, however, presents the Spirit at work also in our natural secular giftings too, using them for his purposes in the world. And these vocational abilities are not the same as charismata or gifts, but they are ways that the Spirit works in and through us. He brings out the example, these two people here. In the Old Testament, characters Bezalel and Oholiab. Interesting names, right? Bezalel and Oholiab. And these were two artists, one filled with the Spirit of God and another appointed by God as a helper, and showed that the fullness by the excellent way they made artistic designs, cut stones, and worked with wood. Right? Two artists, filled with the Spirit of God, and another appointed by God as a helper, and they use their artistic abilities for the design, cutting stones, and working with wood. So do you see, that's a perfect example of what he's talking about. They had this gift, they had this thing that they had in their lives, and they did well, and God used it for his glory. It's all through the Bible, though, you know, it's not just those two guys. And it's in your life, too. Isn't it exciting to be alive now that we know that God gives us these gifts and the things that he gives to us that we're oftentimes so hard on ourselves about, and you go through a wilderness time and you're thinking, what is life about and where am I going and who am I? All you need to do is have God. And it is that simple. But we complicate things with our minds and all these different things. And so God is saying to us on this Holy Sunday, on this Holy Spirit-filled Sunday, that he wants to be involved in your life, and he has great gifts to give you. And he's distributing all of them to each of us for the common good. So he's teaching us humbleness before him first, and then humbleness when we receive those gifts and what we practice. And then we change our minds from inward thinking into ourselves and what is going on in me and how can I help myself to say, God, how can I help others? Amen. And so I hope that these things that were written by this brother, J.D. Greer, will help you. If you want to take a look at some of the things he wrote in more detail, I'll give it to you, and you can use that. But this is a day that we really want to celebrate because the Holy Spirit is real. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of us. We just need to listen to what God says through the Holy Spirit. And if we are wise, we'll follow and do what it says. So God bless us all with his Holy Spirit this day as we practice the gifts that we've been given for the common good, and to remember that we as a church have a wonderful Savior in Jesus Christ, our head, and we do the things that he has taught us to do. So we're going to sing a song now in response.